talked a little Shabbos Friday night that Eretz Yisrael, they began B'Sein Talamota on Friday, Zayin Cheshvan, and we start 60 days after the equinox. Now, so in reality, since the equinox is September 23rd, we should be starting November 23rd. But it doesn't happen. Why doesn't it happen? Because we did the changes between the Gregorian and the Julian calendars didn't get accepted in the world of Halacha. So we're still on the old calendar. So what, they knocked off 11 days in the middle, and then really by 1900 it changed by another day. There's one more day of difference that was added, which they didn't account for. So the calendar was again slightly off. Right after 1900, it moved to the night preceding the 5th, and even shorter, it used to be the night preceding the 4th of February.
December?
What?
December?
December, that was December. So we're still on the old calendar, the old secular calendar. So that's why we didn't change. I'll call upon him. Why we have this practice, as it says, is rooted, clouded, and absolute mystery. It's true. In Machlaikis, between Chachmei Bobel and Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, so we in Chutz La'aretz are noyeg like Chachmei Bobel, not like Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. But that's when they had a Machlaikis. This issue was not rooted in a Machlaikis. This issue was rooted in different Metzias. Eretz Yisrael, Nartara Shamayim Tishtamoyim, as the Pesach said, that it doesn't have a great river and a great river valley in Eretz Yisrael, so we're highly dependent on rain. There's not a great storage of water for irrigation purposes, so we need it to rain constantly. And if you go down to Mesopotamia, so you're in one of the world's great river valleys. Right? In the ancient world, it was called, right, referred to the Fertile Crescent, the most fertile part of the entire ancient world. But the Gemara says in Kiddushin that Mitra b'Marovo Sadarava Pras. So the Rishayim are all types, you know, the things that we take for granted. That is general knowledge, you know, that you could look up a map and see how the world actually looks, and find out where a river is and what direction it goes from northeast to southwest or northwest to southeast, and which way the tide, the current of the river flows, that all of these are accessible. I mean, we live in a world, you want to know sunset, just ask Google, and then in 1 second they'll tell you when sunset is any place you want to know in the world. Wanted to know Friday, when was the last time I could call my shver in Yerushalayim, so I just asked Google when sunset in Jerusalem. Okay, well, 4:53, sunset in Jerusalem Friday. So we can't imagine a world where even basic geography was an unknown. We showed them at a very difficult time understanding what this Gemara meant. They thought perhaps that the river wound started from the northeast and went in a southwesterly direction. And they debated which way the current ran, whether it ran from the north to the south or the south to the north. And you know, there are almost no rivers in the world which go from south to north. I think the Nile, I think, is one of the major exceptions to that. But most rivers in the world go from north to south. For whatever the reason, I don't know, but that's the way the Rabbeinu Shalom made the world. So the Baal HaTosfos had a hard time understanding this Gemara. They were all over the Rashi and Tosfos and Kiddush and all types of Pshatim. And there are two Tosfos in the Mechiras about it. Finally, the Baal HaTosfos came to a Pshat which fits with the geography as we know it. How did this come about? In the latter part of the 13th century, because of persecutions in France, in the beginning of the 14th century, hundreds of Baal HaTosfos went from France to Eretz Yisrael. So once they were in Eretz Yisrael, so they started to look at what was going on there. So one of the Baal HaTosfos, some of them came back to Europe eventually. So one of them came back to Provence, and he told to France, and he told them that the river runs from the northwest, starts up in Turkey, wherever it's, and runs down to the southeast. till it drains in the Persian Gulf, and the current goes from the north to the south. Now, once they do that, so then they figured out the Pshat and the Gemara is Mitra Bamarov. If it rains in Eretz Yisrael, the Sada Rava Pras. So you see the Euphrates gets swollen, there's more water, drains through it. So you know that it's raining upstream. So that's the Metzias. So the Metzias is Eretz Yisrael needs rain constantly, and the Euphrates, which has all the water in the Middle East draining through it, and the Tigris, so they have tons of water. So that's why in Bovel they were not so concerned, they were getting the rain started quickly. They had plenty of water without that. So this wasn't always a machleikus. There was no machleikus here, it's just a different metzias. If it Eretz Yisrael was in, he had the Tigris rivers, then they also would have started 60 days after the Nazayin Cheshur, and Bovel would have done reverse. So why did we wind up with the practice of Bovel? It's not a machleikus, it's a metzias. Our Metzias, the truth is, more closely approximates the Metzias of Bovel than it does rather Eretz Yisrael than of Bovel, because we need rain throughout the year, especially in a country like the United States where we have all types of crops going at all different times in the year. We have winter wheat, which is planted in the winter and the fall and is harvested in June. We have spring wheat, which is summer wheat, which is planted after Pesach and is harvested in the fall. And we need rain throughout the year to keep ourselves going. I mean, this is Baruch Hashem, is a blessed land. I was in Steinberg, we were in Nebraska last year. So I guess November, I guess it was. It was November, December, we went down to Nebraska for one day. We drove 165 miles from Omaha to Hastings, and then 105 miles back from Hastings to Lincoln. It is amazing. Just you pass cornfields and soy fields without stop, mile after mile after mile, as far as the eye can see. And I met a college student on a plane. He's from Iowa. Tells me Iowa is the same still. And just to realize for a second that the cornfields and the soy fields of Nebraska and Iowa are larger than the whole Eretz Yisrael. Stop to think for a moment what that means. It's a very blessed country we have. So we need rain all the time to keep our agriculture going. So why are we not reciting the same Tal at other times in the year? Now the Rosh was the one, the Rosh did not agree with this practice, but the Rosh did not succeed. His view did not become accepted, l'halacha. The Rosh said that we ought to look at every region of the world and what they need in that region. That's the way we should be mispalo. What are we getting tied into? Minhagi Bovel, Minhagi Eretz Yisrael. It's not relevant to the whole discussion. So we don't know why the halacha is the way it is. Otherwise, Rav Moshe quantifies it, because that's the Messiah. The minhag is that way. And we don't lightly over, as the Chazon Ish is very strong to point out, we don't lightly overturn things that are minhagim. Once they're established halachas, we very, very loath to overturn them. So why we have this practice, we don't know. So I mentioned Shabbos, how it impacts our emotion. Use this, in fact, that a person who comes from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, and then his home community, they already started in Zayin Cheshvan. And here, there's no reason, not there's every reason that he should say, especially consistent with his home country. Elamai, the problem is we have a minhag, but a minhag doesn't affect the milsa de la shchiach. So when all the derivatives, people coming from Eretz Yisrael to America, there was never a kfiyas minhag on such a thing. It wasn't shchiach enough. If a riot is no kfiyas minhag, we can't figure out what the halacha is. They have 7 million days and nobody knows arayim what exactly to be kaveyed in. So Ramosha says, Mameila, you should follow the Rosh, and he should be consistent with his home country and start from Zayin Cheshvan. Also, I saw the Israeli poskim say that if a person came after Zayin Cheshvan and he started in Eretz Yisrael, he should certainly keep on saying here. That's their view. And the other way around, what to do if you go from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. So here we have a little quandary, because I come from a community where they're not saying, and I'm going to a community where they are saying. Should I say? Shouldn't I say? And one of the factors should be that if a person's family is in Eretz Yisrael, or he isn't, even if he's in America, or he's in Eretz Yisrael, for this year, I'm going to stay there till June. So that means I'm dependent on the agriculture where it's all. What does it help me that I'm a Ben America? I'm a Ben New York. I have to drink water. I'm not getting water from New York. I want to buy a tomato. I'm buying a tomato in Machane Yehuda. I'm not buying it near its casino farms. So I'm dependent on the agriculture there. So it's Daito Lachsa. And Yontif bother me that I'm a Ben Chutz Laretz. That's a different, that's a very esoteric question. But on this world, where my feet are on the ground now, this is where I have to eat and drink this winter. So I need the agriculture of Eretz Yisrael to function. It doesn't help me that it's not going to stop functioning, Khalil and Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to have a bumper crop in New York. So what's that going to do for me? So the Chayra, that should have been the Koveya. But as I said, we don't have an established practice. So the stipler suggested, and someone told me afterwards on Friday night that they said that someone asked Rabbi Yoshev, and he told them the same thing. So the stipler provided a very elegant solution to this problem. He said they should say the same Talamotel of Rochel of Eretz Yisrael. Because the whole question in this halacha is vis-a-vis this halacha, who constitutes a Ben Eretz Yisrael, is supposed to be Mispalo. The same Tal, starting from Zayin Cheshbon. That's all the sheetahs in Achreinim are trying to define that. So the Stipe doesn't just say the same Tal Amot Lebrochel Ben Eretz Yisrael. See if you classify as a Ben Eretz Yisrael. So you said the same Tal. If you're not, so you almost follow for the other people.
Well, the Ben Eretz Yisrael or not Eretz Yisrael itself?
No, but the question is, the whole issue is Eretz Yisrael definitely in his reign. The question is, am I a Ben Eretz Yisrael and I have to be mispalo with them, or a Ben Chutz Laretz and I have to be mispalo with the people of Chutz Laretz? That's the Shaila. So therefore, if you say the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, so whatever I am, if I'm a Ben Eretz Yisrael, I'm included. If I'm not a Ben Eretz Yisrael, so I'm mispalo for the other guys. Yeah. So, you know, Mamela, yes.
What about separating from the seed work? You're an Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to say something different than everybody
else. Well, it's Betzina anyhow, and I don't have a choice. It's not for Hesia. And I'm doing it because I just don't know what to do. So listen, if I'm a Ben Eretz Yisrael, so I put myself together with them. I said the Ben Eretz Yisrael. If you tell me the halacha is, I'm considered a Ben Eretz Yisrael in this halacha, so I'm included. So the Paiskim did find, and there's other questions of the Gabi B'Dievet. If you live in a country which needs the rain and you made a mistake and said Masha V'Ruach at the wrong time of the year, you may not have to go back. Also, because of the fact that they need rain in this entire country. So that's a whole question, whatever. There's a literature on that too. Now, I want to take a look at two fascinating things which have to do with Hussein Tal. There's a rather well-known machloikis at the beginning of Perek Tfilas HaShachar and Brochus, which deals with the fact, what happens if a person forgot Yalo V'Yovo on the last day of Chol HaMoed? Of Rosh Chodesh. Whether it's a 1 day Rosh Chodesh, 2 days, the last day of Rosh Chodesh, you forgot Yalo V'Yovo with Mincha. Now, I realize, hey, it was Mincha, and I forgot. I am no Shaila. I absolutely forgot Yalo V'Yovo. I slipped my mind fully. So, what do I have to do? So, normally, if I skipped Mincha today, or I left out the Brocha Baruch Aleinu, I realize that my Pesukim was missing a page, and I skipped Baruch Aleinu. I left it out. So then I certainly would have to daven Marav twice with Tashluma because I wasn't Yaitzim Mincha. So what happened now that I didn't say Yalo V'Yovo? So I should have to daven Marav twice. That wasn't Yaitzim. But yet this is subject, this is a machlekes, the Rif in the Rambam. One of the few places in Tosis is in Shas where Tosis quotes the Rif. Very rare. For whatever reason. So there's a machlekes that... So one sheet that says you didn't daven, you have to daven again. The second sheet that says you don't have to daven again. Why? Because what are you going to accomplish by davening again? In Marav, since it's no longer Rosh Chodesh, I'm not going to recite Yalo V'Yovo. So the classic explanation, I think it comes from Chaim Brisk, but it's pretty widely assumed that this is the pshat. That the sheet that you don't have to daven again says that even if you didn't say Yalo V'Yovo, it's a tefillah. It's not like you left out a brocha of Baruch Aleinu. No, I davened Shemon Esrei, and it's a tefillah, and I was yotze tefillah. Elamai, there's a second din, that during tefillah, you have to mention whatever day it is. B'chol yom v'yom ein b'chaysa, Baruch Hashem yom yom. So you have to mention whatever today's about. So I didn't mention that. That doesn't undermine the whole tefillah. It means there's an aspect of tefillah that I didn't fulfill today. So I have to come back And I have to daven again, not because I didn't daven at all, because there's a certain kiyum in tefillah, din in tefillah, that I didn't do yet. So now, when it comes, if I didn't, I didn't realize during the daytime, and now it's ma'arif time. So, mincha I davened. So why, what's the whole purpose of davening again? It's just to add yalav yavo. But at nighttime, I can't add yalav yavo anyhow. So what's the point of davening again? That's the way this machlokas is classically explained. So the shaila is like this. Vissain Kal is going to start on, I think, Thursday night of December 4th. December 5th is a Friday. December 6th is Shabbos. So let's add Mincha, right? On December 5th, first to your Thursday night you started, Friday at Mincha, someone forgets Vissain Kal. Now, it's Ma'arav Tom. So what's the deal? Do I have to daven Tashlumin or not? Now Friday night I'm not going to say Hussein Tal. So the Shaila is, the absence of Hussein Tal, does that mean that I left out a key part in the whole Shema? It's like I blew out the Brocha of Baruch Aleinu, and therefore I skipped the Brocha in Shemona Esrei, so I wasn't Yotze at all, so Mamela I have to daven Tefillah Shabbos twice. Oh no, it's the equivalent of leaving out Yalav Yavo. I davened, except I didn't do everything I'm supposed to in the Tefillah, so if I can go back and put it in, I have to. It's a rather, it would be rather unlikely to assume that this is the equivalent of the machlekes of Yalav Yavo. It's a strange assumption. Now, it seemed to me implicit in the Mogen Avraham and Siman Kuf Ches. It's not spelled out, but implicit in the Mogen Avraham seemed to me that the Mogen Avraham holds it's the equivalent of the machlekes of Yalav Yavo. So when I was by Rabbi Yoshua Zatzal many years ago, I asked him about this Mogen Avraham. I said, it's a drapella and svara to compare this to Yalav Yavo. So I still remember what he told me. He says, listen, he says, if any contemporary person would come up with this idea, he says, we'd throw it right out. Wouldn't wash. But the Mogen Avraham is a basic movie. The Mogen Avraham, we just can't, we can't dismiss.
Why is the svara strange?
Because it's a bakosha. It's a full-fledged bakosha of Shemona Esrei, which is an integral part, not an incidental. Yalav Yavo is self. Listen, I have a Shemona Esrei, 18 brachas, 19 brachas, I daven every day. In the wintertime, I'm a chuyuf to be mavakish for rain. And I didn't. So I would say that I just blew out the Shemona Esrei. That's what I would have thought. That's why I have to daven again. But as I said, it's implicit in the Mogen Avraham otherwise. So if some want to say a hechruch to this Mogen Avraham, to this Shita, is because why is it that if I left out the Saint Talmud Levrocha, I could put it into Shamaya Tefillah? L'chayr, if I left out an essential part of any other Brocha, I shouldn't be able to replace it in Shamaya Tefillah. It's like I skipped that Brocha, so why can I get away with it here? Now, that's not an absolute. Now, the Tzvi Pesach Frank is also of this view that this is considered the equivalent of Yalav Yavo. So, it's not an absolute proof, this proof, because there is a prima godim, the Chofetz Chaim, that Tzal wanted to go in exactly the opposite direction. The Chofetz Chaim wanted to know, there's a machlokes, the Torah and the Gro. Which parts of Shemona Esrei are absolutely necessary to be Yotze? So, the Torah sheet is that in every brocha has certain essential bakoshas, for example. Besonis the kabbish goli, you say no, kibbutz golius is an essential part of the kabbish shofar. If you would skip kibbutz golius and kabbish shofar, you're not yotze Shemona Esrei according to the Torah. The Gro says in all the middle brachos in Shemona Esrei, I guess you have to have the same tal, you have to account for somewhere. But besides that, all you need to do is to say the chasimus, Baruch Atah Hashem Chaynen Ados, Baruch Atah Hashem Aritzav as Shuva, etc. Chanan Amar B'Desloyach, Baruch Atah Hashem Goli Yisrael. If you did just the chasimus according to the Gro, you're yotze. There's nothing else except, I guess, for Saint Talar. There's some, there's nothing that's Likuva other than that. There's a machlok is to grow on the Torah. So according to the Torah, he wants to know, I left out, for example, the notion of Kibbutz Goliath and Kabbash Shofar. So do I have to go back to Kabbash Shofar, or can I insert it in Shamaya Tefillah? So the Chofetz Chaim is inclined to think that why shouldn't I be allowed to put it into Shamaya Tefillah? He says, Elamai, the Prima Godim, says it's no proof. That he wanted to bring a proof from the fact that I can put the same talent to Shomei HaTfilah, that he brings the Prima Godim, that that's not necessarily a proof, because the Prima Godim says the reason they allowed me to put the same bracha in wherever I want is because it doesn't have a fixed place, because half the year I leave it out. So since half the year I leave it out, there weren't so makpid where I happened to put it in. But if I left that kibbutz goliyus belongs in the bracha of Tkaba Shofar, I blew out the bracha. So Chofetz Chaim remains unconvinced. He doesn't know. He says the Prima Godim didn't bring any proof to his tzad. But he says, in light of the fact that according to the Gro, as long as I said the Chassim, I shouldn't have to go back. So maybe I should be soimich on the fact that just they added the Shema Koleinu and that's enough. I'll call upon him. So there's an attempt to bring a proof from the fact that Saint Talka be inserted into Shema Koleinu, which is not necessarily, as I said, mukhrach, because in light of the Prima Godim. So it comes out is the following. Now what do we do if it's tonight, it's the night after Rosh Chodesh, and I didn't say Yalav Yovu at Mincha? So we don't have a clear Kanach Ro. So what we do is the following. I daven Tashlumen, but I say I make a condition, and that condition is in case I'm exempt from Tashlumen, because there's no Din Tashlumen in this case, so let this be a Tvilas Nedova. I'm allowed to daven Tvilas Nedova. And that suffices. But the problem is, if it's now Friday night, and Friday night, Shabbos, you can't daven Tvilas Nedova, so this Eitzah goes out the window, you're stuck. So the same would be true if you left out the same Tal, it would come out on Friday afternoon, that by Shabbos Marav, you wouldn't daven twice. It's a Chiddush. I was reminded of it today, but then I remember this conversation that I had with Rabbi Yoshua Zatzal on exactly on this subject. As I remember, I was rather astounded by the way I understood the Mogad Avraham, and he understood the Mogad Avraham the same way I did. He didn't tell me there's no such Mogad Avraham. He says, no, he says the Mogad Avraham says it.
Is the difference if it's a bakasha or a shvach? Is it the same scenario, less
I don't know. That's a very good question. Does a shevach have the same din? That would be a good question. I have yet to consider that, to think about it. Rishalmi does consider. Rishalmi wants to say the following. The shittas Rishalmi is that if you left out Masha Baruch at the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei, the Bavdi doesn't pasuk that way. It's implicit. But according to the Rishalmi, let's say I skipped Masha Baruch now. I can put it into Shema Koleinu. And the Rishalmi makes a kal v'chaymer. The Rishalmi says that Geshem, which is Midoichak, means it's a real need. And I wasn't mispalal the right way. I can put it into Shema Koleinu and fix it up. So Masha Baruach, which is a relatively minor happening, it's just a little praise of the Rabbeinu Shalom, so why can't I fix it up? So the Shaila, the flip side of it is because it's not a bakasha, it's a do. But you see, in terms of the notion of the Rishalmi, it seems it's less significant than Shaila with Saint Tal. So if we would say with Saint Tal is only Askor of Alma, the Chayr and Shfut Valar and Masha Baruch is the same thing, the Chayr. So that I'll have to consider. I did not yet, close the circle to go back to that. Now, there's a very strange halacha. And this strange halacha is also, the Rishalmi definitely doesn't hold from it. And the Bahag is the one, the Baal Halachas Gedolus, who postulates it, apparently holding that the Bavli disagrees. And the Halacha, we've accepted the view of the Bahag, the Hainu. So we know the Halacha is, if I skipped Mesein Talamot Levrocho by Baruch HaLeinu. So now I'm up to Olam HaShinim, and I realize, I didn't do Mesein Tal. So what do? So I cruise into Shema Koleinu. And I added it into Shema Koleinu, and everything's fine, and life goes on. What happens if I'm now up to Moedim? And I realize I still didn't say the same time. So I left it out of Baruch Koleinu. I left it out of Shema Koleinu, and now I'm up to Moedim. So the Rishonim says explicitly, in this case, right? It says, listen, what's the halacha if I left out Yalav Yovo? So if you left out Yalav Yovo, you don't go back to the beginning of the Shmoneh Esrei because I'm up to Amoidim. You go back to Ritzay. So Amela, if I left out the same Tal from Shemaya Tefillah, just go back to Shemaya Tefillah. Which, if I can put the same Talmud Mortar in Tishma Koleinu, it's an acceptable place. So just because I blew it out, why? I blew by and I don't know, in the middle of Moedim. So why should I go back to Halacha? We pass on the Halacha to go back to Baruch Aleinu. Yerushalmi says, no, why don't you go back to Baruch Aleinu? Shemaya Tefillah is a suitable place, so just go back to Shemaya Tefillah, recite the Baruch Shema Koleinu again, put it in there and go on. It's the most elementary of solutions to this problem. So the Rosh infers the Baal Halachos Gedolos is not explicit, but the Baal Halachos, the Rosh is medayek in the Baal Halachos Gedolos. He has two pshatim, but he says the other pshat does not add up. So the pshat in the Baal Halachos Gedolos is that if you passed already, he started Ritzay already, so then you have to go back to Baruch Aleinu. If you yet to start Ritzay, you can dump it in between the two brochas, the Shulchan Aruch says. It's not part of a bracha, it's just somehow gets appended. But if I started with say already, I have to go back to Baruch Aleinu. So that remains, that's the Bahag, and that's the way we paskin. But the Shaila is why? I mean, the Rishalmi is Lachar, Pashtas, and Sfar, the Rishalmi is 1,000% right. So good, you hold that there's a Diak in the Babli doesn't hold from it. But on what basis? On what basis? So I never understood this, Rishalmi, this psak. Today I came to a new thought. Maybe a new mahalach. I never had a mahalach. I don't know, maybe I've once had, but I never anything satisfied. So the shaila is, why we don't go back? I'm up to Bilam Hashinim. Why don't I go back to Baruch Aleinu? That's the real place it's supposed to be. So why don't I go back? So we usually think the reason we don't go back is the Shaila Brocha Levatol. You know, I said already, what's with all the brochas that I said I'm going to do? Baruch Aleinu and Kaba Shaifa and Ashiva. So again, three brochas Levatol. So why should I do that when I have the option of putting it into Shema Koleinu and there's no extra brochas? So the Chara, that would seem to be the way to go. So I said, if that's the case, if that's the Mahalach, then you take the Yerushalmi is right. That I should go back to Shema Koleinu. That's the end of the discussion. I think that the issue is a different issue according to the Bahag. And that's the Bavli's issue. The reason not, really it belongs in Baruch Aleinu when I should go back to Baruch Aleinu. Why don't I go back? Because it's inappropriate to recite Shemoneh Esrei in this fashion. I don't go, all of a sudden go back and repeat three brochas and go on. That's not a mahalach. You don't talk to the Rebbeinu Shalom like that. Rav Yosef Ver Soloveitchik said once, you know, he was talking about the idea, the notion of repeating words in the middle of davening for a chazan. So he said there was a non-from Jew who was on the board of directors of a shul in Warsaw. We didn't invent this in America, Rav Yosef. This was in a shul in Warsaw. And he was a wealthy man, obviously. He was on the board of directors. So some chazan came, and he was repeating a million words. So he said he's not taking this guy as a chazan. So he says, what's the matter? He said, it's very simple. He said, if some guy walked into my business and started repeating and bebbing, I'd throw him out of my office. So I'm going to take you to speak to the Rebbeinu Shalom for me. He says, whatever, I'd throw you out. I wouldn't let you work in my office. He says, I'm going to take you here to speak to the Rebbeinu Shalom for me. He says, come on, I get lost. It's a chisoron kvayt shamayim to speak to such as. That's what I think the problem is. You don't all of a sudden in the middle, oops, you go back, I made a mistake, and go back and say over the three brochas, you know? Try to do that with your boss and see what happens. You know? That's the problem. So, Mamela calls him on that I'm going and I can say Shemoneh Esrei without going back, then fine. But once I reach the point that any I can't do Shemoneh Esrei properly because I have to go back, so then do it the right way. Baruch Aleinu is where it belongs. That's my new thoughts for today. Good. That's not the question of putting it in the right place outweighs that. What happens if you didn't say if you didn't say Yalla V'Yovel. You go back to Ritzay. I am in the middle of I did a Machzor Shechinos of the Tzion, and I'm in the middle of Moedim now. I'm up to B'chol HaChaim. You got to go back. You have to daven properly. So where does it belong? It belongs in Ritzay. So you go back to Ritzay. I is a Brochol. What could you do? If you're saying Tal belongs in Baruch Aleinu, that's where it belongs. The whole license not to go back is because of the fact that I shouldn't have to make repetitions in the middle of the Shemar Esrei, because that's not quite Shemayim. So Kol Zman that I can go straight and I can put it into Shemar Aleinu. If I pass Shemar Aleinu when Benkach or Benkach, I'm doubling. If you're doubling back, then do it the right way. Don't go back to Baruch Aleinu. To consider. So if you learn, I would say the Rishalmi learns the consideration is in your Baruch Levatolo. Someone may law, if you're looking for the stamp of the Baruch Levatolo, you go back to Shema Kolenu. Why should I go back to Baruch Levatolo and another seven brochs? Yeah.
When you exactly put it in Shema Kolenu?
Before Kiyato Shemaya. It says also that if it's a day of a Tainus, then you put it in before Aneno. Because this is Leikuva really, and in Mamela it's more significant than Anena, which is not Leikuva. So that's my suggestion of how to learn this very strange halacha that we have, which is, I'd say, defied any attempt of mine to explain it until today. But I think that this is a mahalach. And it's maguna to talk before the Rabbeinu Shalom in such fashion. The Rambam writes, in the first parak in Tefillah, the Rambam asked the following question. If you make a cheshbon in Jewish history, right, you were 850 years in Eretz Yisrael till the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash. How come in all of these years no one decided to write Shemoneh Esrei? All of a sudden at the end of the Bayis, after the Bayis reached and was destroyed, all of a sudden we find Anshe Knesset HaGdoyle write a Shemoneh Esrei. The issue has been on the table for 1,000 years. You know, if we looked at such an issue today, and I said, listen, we went from the Rashba until today, and not one Odom Godel, and all the entire history, Sephardic and Ashkenazic, and the history of the Jewish people in 8.5 centuries. You know, it's almost 8.5 centuries since the Ramban. Right? So from the time of the Ramban until now, nobody thought this was an issue that they should address. So I'm going to come along now and decide right away, so we have a problem. And we need to address it. So you're going to tell me, you flipped out of your mind. The Ramban didn't do anything about it. The Rashi put it for around the Vilna Gaon, the Mogen Avraham, the Taz, the Chofetz Chaim, Reb Chaim Ha'ezer, you must be, you flipped out. Go take 2 aspirins, go to sleep, and come back tomorrow when you had a screw on straight. 850 years went by. We went through all the Nevi'im. And nobody bothered to make a Shemoneh Esrei. All of a sudden, Anshe Knesset HaGdoyle woke up one day, they want to make a Shemoneh Esrei. What happened? So the Rambam says there was a reason. The Rambam writes in the first paragraph in Hilchos Tefillah, it's very simple. Because the matzav of the Jews living outside Eretz Yisrael in that door was the matzav of the Jews living in America in the post-Holocaust era. Right? Nobody speaks one language straight. You know, the language is mixed. There's a little Hebrew, a little Yiddish, a little English, and who knows what else is mixed into it, you know. So the Rambam says that's what happened in Bovel. They had a cholot. They didn't have a language. So it's not quite Shemayim to talk to the Rabbeinu Shalom like that. So they had no choice. They had to write Shemoneh Esrei. Because otherwise, if the people were left to their own designs, they would never get out anything that made any sense. And in a sense which would be consistent with Koyet Shemayim, to talk to the Rabbeinu Shalom in such fashion, would be bizyanus. That's why they did it. Kol Zman, the people lived in Eretz Yisrael, and they had a good facility in Loshon Kodesh, so daven, you know how to daven, that's it, daven. You have to write Shemoneh Esrei. So you see that the Rambam holds that, in other words, the aspect of Koyet Shemayim has to do with the Seder HaTfilah is very, very good. It's an important aspect in the Seder HaTfilah. The whole Shemoneh Esrei was written to address this problem, according to the Rambam.
Well,
yeah.
Wasn't the Tfilos that were said in Eretz Yisrael similar to Shemoneh Esrei?
whatever they were, they didn't write a Nusach of Shmoneh Esrei, according to the Rambam, I'll tell you. We don't know. Every person apparently was allowed to say whatever tefillah he wanted to say. There's a format to the tefillah the Rambam learns, which is the Raisa. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tefillah, and it's clear from the Rambam it's a Raisa, the Kesef Mishnah learns the Rambam that way, that we have our structure of tefillah, that you have to have Shavach, praise, then you have Bakosha, and then you have Vaidor, is a Raisa Dika format. And that's really what our whole structure of the tefillah in the morning is based on. What do we have in the morning? First, we have the Pesukah Dezimah, the Torah says, so we have a whole section of praise, the Pesukah Dezimah. Then we come to Inyanim of Birchas Kriyashon and Kriyashon, which is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. And then we come from that, once more with Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, to actually be Mispalah before the Rabbeinu Shalom. So the Shaila is where the Rambam got this derisive format for Tefillah. So the Kesef Mishnah, half he answers and half he doesn't answer, and Baruch Hashem, I'll address that too, because actually it happens to be a Sefri. The first half, that you have to have praise, and then you have Bakosha, so that's before Rosh and Parshas Baschanan. Baschanan is one of the, Moshe Rabbeinu was Mispalo hundreds of Tefillahs. What was the Tefillah? Ato achilosa l'haros es avdecha es godlecha es godlecha yodecha chazoko. You've begun to show the Rabbeinu Shalom your greatness. Asher mikel v'ashamayim v'oretz asher yasecha ma'asecha v'chigvurosecha. It's a mighty praise of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Then Moshe Rabbeinu came to say, Ebrono v'eres ha'oretz ha'toyva. So Chazal learned, he believed he brings a source in Chazal. Chazal learned the Kesef Mishnah. That, you see, the first day after Shavach, and then you have to have Bakosha. But the Kesef Mishnah says he doesn't know where the Rambam got the last day after that you have to have Vaidor. So, I once was medayik this from Psukim, and then I found out, someone asked me about it from right, so I looked further into it, and I found out that Madiak is actually a Sifri. V'zois HaBrocho, the Brochos of Moshe Rabbeinu are really his tefillahs. That's what he's mispalo for the Rabbeinu Shalom, the Michiruvein, while Yomo is what he wants the Rabbeinu Shalom to grant the Klal Yisrael. So if you look at Vezayis HaBrocho, it also begins. Ophiyah Mehar Paran, Vosses Homer Rivos Kodesh, Mimino Eishto Slomo, Av Chayvavam, Imko Kodesh, Abiyadecho. It's praise. Then he starts the Brochos. And what happens after the Brochos? Ashrech Yisrael Mikomocha, Amnoisha Bashem, Ashamogin Azrecha. There he gives Haidot to the Rabbeinu Shalom, Ashrecha Yisrael, we have this Rabbeinu Shalom. So the Sefri actually on Parshas, Vezayis HaBrocho, learns this final halacha of the Rambam that you have to have Haidot after the Bakoshas. The Sefri actually derives it from Parshas Vezayis HaBrocho. That's the source, even though the Kesef Mishnah says he didn't know the source. The source is a Sefri. So there is a derisive format with either, but the text was not fixed. Text was not fixed. And each person was mispalal according to his understanding.
But he didn't have to have 18 separate topics.
No. Not at all.
So when Moshe Davin came on the phone in the law, so the Torah didn't record the whole.
I presume it didn't record the whole tefillah. The Shavach and the Haidot. The
Vaichal, there might be some shock at the beginning, certainly now.
Yeah. Maybe it's not, it doesn't tell us every single aspect of the tefillah, but that's a tefillah. A tefillah has to have all of that. So, you see, in other words, so there is a derisive format for tefillah, but again, the blanks, every person was allowed to fill it on his own.
If a person wanted to say, Hashem, help me find a parking spot, you don't need praise in Shabbat, that's for you.
In a formal Shmoneh Esrei, you need, right. You know, when you, you know, it's a Bakosha Ba'alma that you make, doesn't have to have, you know. Because that's why, there looks like it's a formal tefillah, Vayichal Moshe. I think Leon is correct. Okay, I'll know, those are formal tefillahs to the Rosh, not just, there's not a minor Bakosha, that's L'chair, it's a tefillah, it's a full-fledged tefillah.
Like his fathers, they do the same thing, something like
this boy, that this is something else. I mean, we're talking, you know, we've got to be very careful. You know, when Shas talks about chassidim, it's not what we think chassidim are. No knock on the chassidim. You listen, I come listen, my grandfather was a chassid of the Belzer Rebbe, so, you know, no knock on chassidim. But a chassid in Shas is a person that lives his life in Lifnei Meshuras Hadin. So chassidim or Rishonim spent 9 hours a day in Tefillah. So that was for the reason that how do you come before the Rabbeinu Shalom? You know, we need to disengage. The Torah says the Tefillah is similar to the notion of Korov Demailas HaNavur, is the real Lashon, the manner of Tefillah. Meaning that I'm totally out of this world. I'm somewhere else. I have no consciousness at all of the world around me. That's not so easy to achieve. You know, we're doing all types of things the whole day. So Chassidim or Rishonim went, and they spent an hour to be Meichen, to disengage from the world. Now, after they reached a connection with the Rabbeinu Shalom, you just don't jump back from that to a Danish. You know, that's something that you have to come down. If you got there, then you're going to have to come down from it to come back again to this world. It's not a simple trip either, the world down, back to this world. So that's a whole different parasha of how they went about what tefillah was. They were totally mufsha, totally removed from the world, from this world. And that's what it says. It's Kor of the Maila Sanavu, I think is the language of the Torah. It gets in Kuf Beis, if I remember right. It's Pashtus Hagashmi, it's a person that's totally oblivious to his physical state. So we have a month's time that we have to be extra careful about the same Tal, because the halacha is any time we make a change in tefillah, so we assume, unless we know otherwise, that we didn't do it right. So if there's a gray, so there's a chazoka that I did it wrong. You know, the Rosh Hashanah says if a person has strongly inclined that he did it right, he doesn't have to daven again. But a lot of times, if a person get a little distracted during tefillah, so we just forget, you know, that this is something we have to pay special attention to. So we suffix, a person has to go back. So the first month, after a person changes from one aspect of tefillah to the other, one has to be very careful, like we have to be careful now with Mashavah Ruach. It is not really. I have a chaver who never wanted, you know, the Shulchan Aruch endorses the fact that you can say Mechaim Eisam Atar Rav Doshia Masha Baruch Amar Adagesha. He never wanted to do it. He says, why? He says, this way I know at least for a month I have to be very, very careful and concentrate on the tefillah. I can't take the tefillah for granted. So I don't want to do something which gives me license to take the tefillah for granted. So he refused to do it.
Yeah.
So you listen. You have to know yourself which way you're going to succeed. He obviously felt he succeeded the other way. You know, most of us would not take the downside risk. Yeah, so he didn't want to do that. Because he said, then I'll give me an excuse for a month after Yontif that I don't have to daven with Kavona either. He says, I'd rather be forced to daven with Kavona than I'll daven with Kavona. But that's, you know, as I said, as Leon pointed out, you have to be ready to take the downside risk and know that it's small enough that it's worth taking. Okay, I think that's enough for today. Anything else, Rabbi Yisrael, you mind? Okay, go on.
I apologize that I should come in.